This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk here with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Doug Charles, President and CEO of Capgemini Government Solutions. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Doing well, John. Thank you for having me today.
Great. Now, I've done hundreds of shows here. We've talked about everything from phone systems to SharePoint to managing mobile devices. And there's one thing that seems to pop up constantly, and this theme is change and change management. Well, you know, 700 million smartphones were sold last year, a lot of them in the federal government. There's a change that's taking place. We've never kind of stepped back and looked at, well, okay, from the perspective of a federal information technology professional, how do you manage change? How do you move to the cloud? How do you adapt to mobile devices? How do you change new security requirements? And I thought we'd bring in Doug and talk about his perspective and maybe a little about Capgemini and their experience in helping people make this this tough word called change take place in the information technology area. But first, we got to find more about Doug's background. And Doug, tell us about your background and how you wound up with Capgemini, please.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, the accent your listeners will quickly understand is not New York. It is New Orleans accent, because you'll hear a lot of y'alls in me from time to time. But it was about 20 years ago that I had an opportunity to really look at an opportunity that was happening in D.C. For Ernst & Young. And Ernst & Young, this was back in the reengineering craze back in the early 90s and whatnot, and had an opportunity that they were looking at in their utility division for someone to come back into and help them with the reengineering, who had electrical engineering background, who had a master's, which I did have, obviously, at Tulane. And that really got me to D.C., once at D.C., really stayed in the private sector, the commercial area a lot for Ernst & Young back in that day. So spent a lot of time working with telecommunications companies, utility companies, branched into life sciences and other areas as well. Had the opportunity then, after a certain period of time with Capgemini, to move into SAIC and run their commercial operations, which also include state and local activities as well. And then I stayed close with the North American CEO of Capgemini, and there was an opportunity to really help Capgemini launch into a lot of new sectors in the North American area, as well as really grow their business to well over, you know, $1.4 billion. And so in that vein, have been doing that a lot, and then recently had the opportunity to take as a CEO, president CEO position of what I'm currently doing now, which is really driving the public sector business.
That's good. So I guess we can put it in a nutshell and say that you've got about 20, 25 years experience in the commercial area, dollars and cents, practical, show me the money. And what you're doing is applying some of that practical commercial knowledge to the federal environment.
Very much so. I think that's what you're seeing right now. I think right now the leverageability of the private sector into the public sector and vice versa in a lot of ways, we're seeing over and over again is very, very important. So we had to make a decision really that when we decided who was going to lead this division for us is really, do we take someone that is really well networked into Washington, D.C., or do we take someone that really can apply the leading practices that commercial operations are doing, the private sector is doing, and incorporate those into the expectations of the public sector and work that effectively. And so that's really the decision we made as I assumed this role.
When I did research on this interview, I went to Capgemini, that's Capgemini, capgemini.com, and went to the government section and saw some white papers. And I pulled up this one white paper, and it had the little logo there. It was People matter, results count. Wow, that works in the federal government. That works at McDonald's. That works for Ford Motor Company. It works for everyone, doesn't it?
Well, very much so. I mean, in to your point, the people aspect of it being first. I mean, we're largely a professional services organization that has to understand the use and the benefits of technology, but we get those and communicate those and apply those through our people. So it is absolutely critical that we invest in our people first, as you said, and then really, at the end of the day, there's a lot of activity we can do. On any given day, someone wakes up and they spend, you know, an 8 to a 12-hour day working as hard as they can work. The question is are they working on the right topics, focused in the right areas, and achieving the results? So we really simply put it that said we have to invest in our people, but we have to measure our success by the fact that we're producing results.
I think it's real important to measure success, and I think it's important to recognize success. Oh, a couple days ago, I was helping the folks out at ACT-IAC just give out awards to federal IT professionals who faced a challenge, overcome the obstacles, and succeeded in it. And I think people do matter, and I think you have to recognize people's success in a whole wide range of endeavors, everything from what we talked about managing mobile devices, but actually making a transition from a legacy system to a newer system, and what are the best practices involved, and what should you do, and what should you avoid. And I think that's a good kind of a general focus for the discussion today. So take your experience in the commercial world and take a look at some of the some of the projects you see in the federal world. What are the challenges you see that are common between them? What challenges are maybe more focused on the federal audience in for rising expectations in the IT world?
Yeah, I think one of the areas we're seeing right now is just the need for collaboration. I mean, it is without question in both the commercial and the public sector. You see silos have been built up over a number of years. So really to kind of break down those silos, looking at the new way people are defining success. If someone asked me right now, you know, what's the real change within the CIO expectations, I'd tell you that defining success is really changing. I think not too long ago, if you'd ask your average CIO, how is he defining success or is she defining success, that answer would be, I need to have 10 projects, I need them all delivered by this date, I need them under budget, I need them to be delivered, thank you very much, you've got to come help me do that. And if that person still has that definition out there, then that person's probably not going to implement change to the degree that we're expecting them to. Because really, the definition of change right now and the definition of success right now we're finding with CIOs is really morphing into what is that project supposed to deliver? Are we really putting in the system that's in place to get 20% reduction in cycle time? Are we trying to get some kind of reliability index up? Are we kind of in the commercial space? Is it churn that's our issue with customers and therefore we have to reduce churn? And how does that project contribute to the benefit of that? And if that's your new definition, you can't end the day that you flip the light switch on that says the technology now works. You've got to have more things investing in your people to make sure they're applying that technology to produce those results.
From a bird's eye perspective, from 40,000 feet here, we see all kinds of changes in the federal government. Many of the awards I gave out were for people adapting to change with a reduced budget. And oh, by the way, here's a reduced budget and new security concerns. And so I think there are challenges involved in the federal government that are unusual and unique, just given the chance that they just have to do with so much less money.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's really one of the telling factors, I think, why cloud is becoming so immersed within the public sector as well right now. And that's state and local, all the way up through federal, of course, in any agency that we're talking to right now is just one example of really sitting back saying that, you know what, we don't have the affordability now to go build out our own data centers or go build out, you know, whatever support we need. Is there a way to collaborate among sub-agencies to really get a cost-effective strategy in place so that then we can really achieve higher productivity and higher expectations that we can deliver for our employees, for our management, and then, of course, for our constituents.
Capgemini, some people aren't familiar with some of these words here, but I'm going to spell it out again. Capgemini, so that's capgemini.com. And kind of a big company. It's well known throughout Europe and throughout the world, maybe better known there than here, isn't it?
Very much so. Actually, we're about 130,000 people worldwide strong. In the United States, we're roughly about 10,000 people, but that number is growing. And in North America, I'm proud to say, is becoming one of the most, the highest revenue producing areas for Capgemini. So we're really coming on strong in a big way. And I think in the public sector, quite frankly, due to some aspects of our strategy to get where we're doing, we've gotten today, is we're really trying to unleash the power of Capgemini into North America. So that's again one of the real proponents of me, assuming the role that I just mentioned, is the ability and my knowledge of the network within Capgemini to make sure that we're bringing our big data, our mobility, our cloud, our social media solutions, and even how to apply some of the things that may be applying to the private sector, like customer experience.
We're going to have to take a break. We can come back, talk more about change management, maybe drill down more specifics and some agency-focused comments and observations here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Doug Charles, President and CEO, Capgemini Government Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Doug Charles, President and CEO of Capgemini Government Solutions. For more information, you go to capgemini.com. It's a funny spelling. It's C-A-P-G-E-M-I-N-I, capgemini.com. They have white papers. They have all kinds of stuff. Talking about change management today. So I used a scientific approach. What I did this morning is I went to Google and I typed in change management. I got over a billion hits. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, well, everyone's worried about change management. I mean, every single person walking down the streets, they have to change the way they do business. Why? Because things have changed and the economy's changing and how to invest your money is changing all the time. And so I think the concept of change management is important, not just for my Govy listeners, but for all the listeners. And I think many of the lessons in the commercial world can be applied to the federal world as well. Give me some examples from your experience, your 20-year experience on change management and what are the best practices, how to encourage it, and what have you seen fail?
I mean, to your point, John, in the federal government, I read recently a comment that said that over $600 billion has been spent in IT services over the last 10 years, and yet a lot of people would not really expect the value that we've achieved from those $600 billion, if you will, in the federal government. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is that investment that we're putting in to these tools and technologies and whatnot in our agencies, are they producing the value we expect them to produce? So what we've seen recently, and we see in the commercial sector as well, is the fact that the term change management, the idea of implementation, I think everyone thinks they know. It's like, do you have a good personality? Yes, I do have a good personality. Do I know how to project management? Yes, I do. But very few people really know how to deliver a project, get something from point A to B, point B, if you will. And in change management, we see a lot of different changes coming right now and how to address those changes or what's really the challenge. So in a number of companies I know we were dealing with, I was dealing with a top five Fortune company in the world, and they were trying to make changes that they were incorporating in their gas pipeline and how they do their recovery systems, and they were talking about how they're leveraging their suppliers, and they just basically said, hey, you know what we do? We're going to send out a memo. We're going to tell them this is the way to interact with us, and that's it. That's it. That's our change management, right? And in some regards, some people think that's it. I've developed the solution. I'm going to communicate the benefits. I'll do it by an email. I'll do it with a kickoff call. I'll do it with one and done kind of mentality and believe that's enough. And in that case, you're not going to produce the results that you expect to produce.
Not a flip of the switch, huh?
It is not a flip of the switch. That's why I'm not surprised as far as Googling change management. There's a ton of articles out there, but it's applying the tools and techniques and planning for it just as you would plan the integrated project plan of any technology you'd implement is just as important.
A trending phrase is disruptive technology. Yeah. Oh, I'm John Gilroy. I do disruptive technology. Yeah. Oh, that's trendy. That's great. Oh, wait a minute. Disruption means, guess what? It means change. It means the way we used to do things is different from where we're doing them now. And I think humans, the way we survived is to resist change until we can see some kind of a benefit there. And that may be one point is maybe highlighting some of the benefits to this change in information technology.
Yeah, I think disruptive technology is clearly the buzzword right now. And whether it's mobile, social, big data, or just a few, obviously cloud as well. And that is getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so. And a lot of people will ask, you know, where do you see, you know, mobility in 5 years? Where do you see, you know, big data in 5 years? And I think we all believe that we're just on the cusp of major change. The one thing we know that's going to happen is if you're not flexible to adapt your environment to these changes, that's the one thing we're 100% sure of. No one's 100% sure of where mobility is going to be in 5 years, but I think everyone's 100% sure that says if your environment is not adaptable, your employees are not really accessible to the information that they have at hand, then we got a real problem on our hands, right?
I know a lot of swimmers, and they always stretch before they jump in the pool and swim that 4 miles or whatever. And you have to encourage agility, I guess, in your physical body, but also in your approach to topics. So that I think that's a good start is to, you know, if you have a group of employees, don't send out the memo and expect the light's going to change. What you have to do is you have to generate an environment that, you know, encourages agility, just for starters.
Yeah, you know, we establish a framework at Capgemini, and I think it's a good one because it's relatively a simple concept to understand and kind of check mark the box, if you will. When you're thinking about change, there's a lot of programs, a lot of plans that you can put in place. What I tell my clients is really a lot of times is think about it in three major categories, okay, and really check mark the box whether or not you think you've done all you can in these three categories. So the first category is really tools and resources. Now, most people will sit back and say, well, that's, of course, what we're doing. We're implementing this system. They gave them the tool.
We're moving to the cloud.
We're moving to the cloud. Sure. We're there. We've put in a new back office. We put in a new front office. We gave everybody iPads. We've done what we needed to do, right? And really, what they don't do after that is really, you know, are you assessing the right use for it? Are you really building coalition teams to make sure that people, when they got problems with the new technology, they know where to go with? They know the questions to ask? Do you really have a team that's really there to fight you over the resistance of accepting and embracing the tools and resources? So in a simple form, one leg of the stool is tools and resources. And the other leg of the stool is really knowledge, skills, and abilities. Now, again, short-sightedness, I think, on some people's part will think it's training. Hey, let's train our people. Put them in a two-day class. Snap a finger, it's done. Hey, I bestowed it because I'm in a position of authority, and therefore people will use this. But what we know is clearly training is important. You have to be creative with your training these days. I think you got to use the classroom, but how web-enabled training can really leverage you and some of the other areas that we can really do with collaboration tools are important as well. But really, the knowledge that you have to bestow upon your employees is really the sponsorship commitment. And really, that's reinforcing it in a constant way. You know, I know this isn't a marital advice show, John, but I'll tell you, you know, one of the things I remember hearing a while back was that if ever you want to tell your significant other that you love them or that you're thinking of them, whatever, leave them a note, call them, but that's it. Hang up the phone after it. You don't say, honey, I love you, and oh, by the way, can you bring home some eggs and milk and whatnot, right? You just end it at that is. And what you'll see with sponsors or leaders of these change initiatives, a lot of times, they'll mention change. They'll put it part of their status reports. They'll put it at the end of a weekly call, but they don't dedicate themselves to it. If it's that important in our organization, then we really have to figure out through really, you know, the pollings, the podcasts, the collaboration tools, other ways to get the knowledge and skills and abilities into the organization. And the third leg of the stool is really motivation. And that's really where a lot of people fall, I think, probably more than anything. And I've seen this, John, over and over again in the federal government as well as in the commercial.
And some of my listeners don't care if the auditor comes in. I mean, there's different motivations for different people.
And I think that's a great segue into a lot of people think in motivation as far as, you know, an individual. Why won't this person accept change? And the answer is there's a lot of reasons individuals don't accept change. Some, I have a substitute. I don't need to change, right? Others are sitting back saying, hey, you know what? I don't understand the need to change. I've been doing it this way. This has been good enough. There's a whole host of reasons why people don't change. I think the key is to really recognizing there are going to be resistance, but also to really make sure that you have two-way communication and you're building momentum to change. You're rewarding success, but here's the key, John. And here's the thing that people don't like to talk about, both in the federal and in the private sector. They don't want to talk early enough that says, what happens when people don't change? What happens when people opt out of change? What are we going to do about it? They don't talk about it. They don't even plan for it. And people start thinking about the end state. Oh, my God, you know, if people don't change, you know, then we'll just let half our organization go. Well, that's not reality. So the reality is how do you work with your, you know, your sponsor team? How do you work with the project team? How do you work with your employees in really developing what that motivation can be, should be, to really get your employees on board?
Well, I think those are all key factors, both for the commercial world and in the government area here. And I think one thing that people just don't think about is measuring the success of that change. If you're the CIO of a large agency, and I know several, they just can't snap their fingers and say, okay, we're going to cloud, everyone's going to be happy. I think you have to, over 6 or 8 months, or get some kind of a metric. There's some kind of way to measure the change, whether it's 6 months, 8 months, 18 months. I mean, many of my listeners have time constraints here just through the way the federal government's organized. But I think measurement has kind of got to be somewhere in there as well.
And, you know, the great thing about technology is assessment tools now are really changed. So to your point, I think before when people were doing assessment of whether or not people are embracing change, what was the assessment? What was the measure, John? You know what it was? Hey, I trained 300 people. They all
checklist,
went to training.
Yeah.
Check. It's done, right? And the question, if they did do one more step beyond that, is, was the training effective? Well, then what people come back with, hey, you know what? I didn't like it being 3 hours. I think we needed it 2. I didn't like the food that was served. I didn't like the air conditioning or whatever. And really now we have tools now that really can embrace the effectiveness of the training and the indoctrination of the implementation.
Hey, yeah, you're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gill. We're going to take a quick break here, talk more about change management, especially how it applies to information technology. You're on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and today we are speaking with Doug Charles, President and CEO, Capgemini Government Solutions. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, you have Doug Charles, President and CEO of a company called Capgemini Government Solutions. If you've ever done horoscopes, you know what this Gemini thing is all about. I spell it C-A-P-G-E-M-I-N-I, Capgemini Government Solutions. You know, I'll be blogging about this interview, Doug, and you want to find my blog, you go to Google, type in John Gilroy blog, and it just pops up. It's kind of magic like that. Does your company have a blog? Do you read blogs? What kind of advice can you give our listeners as far as blogs go?
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's one of the areas that we are getting more and more involved in, and so we have a number of blogs that are out there that I'll provide on our website for people to kind of access. But to your point, a lot of white papers that we are developing, because there's just a lot of hot topics right now. So, you know, the ones that are getting the most attention right now, of course, are the mobility aspects, the big data aspects, the cloud aspects are getting a lot of attention right now and a lot of great thought-provoking articles.
So I got my wife an iPad for Christmas, and so now we sit around the kitchen table. She's got her iPad out, and she's got all these fun facts, you know. So she turns to me yesterday, and she goes, how old is David Bowie? And I said, well, I think he's 65. She said, wrong, he's 64. And she had it right in front of her, you know.
That's right. That's,
and I started talking about doubt. David Bowie. And I said, well, you know, David Bowie had that song from the 1970s called Ch-Ch-Ch-Ch-Changes, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
And she says, yeah. I said, guess what? Tomorrow I'm going to talk about Ch-Ch-Ch-Changes and disruptive Ch-Ch-Changes. And I think this song maybe it's the theme song for every federal agency is Ch-Ch-Ch-Changes, because they sure are changing. And many of the larger agencies are forced to, I mean, we don't have to talk about any of the topics that are popular in Capitol Hill. Everyone knows about what's going on financially, but they're forced to do more with less. If you have a household budget of $100 a month for food, all of a sudden your budget is $90 a month for food, you got to put more water in the soup, or you got to buy day-old bread, or you got to do something to change and still maintain the same caloric intake for your family. Can you give us some examples of where Capgemini maybe work with organizations to adapt to this type of change?
Without question, I mean, one thing we know is problems don't go away. So even though your budget may be going down, be it federal government or, as you said, your home budget, your problems exist and the challenges exist. So one of the agencies we work very well with is DHS, obviously, and we do a lot of work with DHS, and they have their challenges, and they've got their missions that says, hey, you know what, we really have some immigration reform topics that we are expected to improve the security, improve really the enforcement of the immigration activities. But they also know that they can't do that in the way they've done it in the past. So whether or not it's ICE and their customs enforcement, or it's CBP with their border protection, or it's a CIS organization kind of as a support model, they know that those agencies must work together. In definition of working together, as far as a collaborative environment, you really now have to have a few things that are in place. And really, for me, people working together, we're working with the organizations to understand that says, okay, if people have to work together, there's a couple elements that you absolutely must need, and we're working with these agencies to really reinforce those. One is something you mentioned, John, a little bit earlier on measurement, but they have to have shared goals. I mean, they have to have that shared mission, if you will, that says, hey, wait a minute, I can't do this without you achieving that, which leads us to our next area, which is dependency. So really making sure that the people who are working with the collaborative environment, that they have to break down these silos, that they understand where each other's roles are, what they're needed to do, what's the expectation. If you will, you know, in our terminology, sometimes we use the term service level agreements. But in the same agency affiliation, when you have these goals like immigration reform and how that's going to affect the environment, their environment, we're working with them that says it's not only you have to develop the dependencies and the shared goals, but you got to develop trust within the organizations. And that's a little more challenging, but that's a lot more where change management does come in. Because, you know, some people call it a softer skill, some people call it a softer environment, but it goes back to really kind of making sure that the collaboration exists so people trust in one another so that they can make these changes happen, even with a reduced budget.
There's an article on change management, kind of a clever title, and I like some clever titles. The title is How to Take the No Out of Innovation.
Oh, that's fantastic.
and it talks about disruptive innovation. Yeah. And if you take an agency like DHS or whatever you want to talk about, and take one small little topic like immigration enforcement, mm-hmm. well, you have air, rail, passenger. I mean, it can be broken down pretty easily, and you may get too wrapped up in one category to not realize that, wait a minute, how does this align with the agency's goals? Because I think we all know that the person who's running that agency has to report to someone else and say, this is how we've complied with a reduction in force, a reduction in budgeting, and still increase the security freedom level. So it's easy to talk about disruptive and taking the no out of innovation, but changing people and altering the way they behave, boy, that's a human skill that is very difficult.
Without question, and you know, one of the things I think you're seeing a lot more investment of and part of the solution is the ability to do the two-way communication. I mean, you reference about disasters, and you know, this is even at the local level as well. Think about the firemen with the, you know, emergency response units, with our police really having to make sure that they have an integrated, open discussion as any issue comes about. And you apply that to any agency that we're working with right now, and some of the challenges they have. So you mentioned innovation, and it's amazing some of the tools that are coming out right now that really foster the upward good ideas within the organization, making sure they're vetted, making sure they're prioritized and invested in to make sure that we have that collaborative, open environment, which is, I think, critical, obviously, in this change environment.
Especially in a situation where the classical top-down management was, yes, everyone will wear a bow tie on Friday and expect the whole world's going to change and adapt to that. I think in this flexible environment, I think you have to be collaborative, but you have to go back and measure it. You have to go back and make sure it aligned with the goals. And the goals, by the way, may be changing.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. You kind of reference the fact that sometimes, you know, I think goals can get too broad. You know, it's the classic boil the ocean, the classic solving world peace, you know, all the things that people have talked about in the past. So I think what's also important, as we kind of talked about building motivation and building momentum, is developing those quick wins. So I think it's important, John, and I think your listeners understand this as well as you've been talking about as well, is as you measure, don't only measure the end state. Don't measure something that says, hey, in 5 years from now, this is where we need to be. That's important. That vision is critical. But also, let's make sure we're measuring certain milestones within the journey. And let's declare success. Let's kind of move towards that success. And oh, by the way, going back to your Agile comment, is if we're not making those measures, it gives us a chance to self-reflect and really evaluate what we're doing that we need to do differently to allow for the flexibility we just talked about.
Because in an environment that's changing as drastically as this one is, I mean, no one could have predicted the things that are happening today. I mean, how you have to be agile with your software development. I think you have to be agile with your alignment of your agency's goals as well, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen down the road. I mean, look at, I mean, we just talk about five things happen in the next last 5 months to see how people have to adjust to changes in the federal government.
Well, think about this. I read, I just thought about this the other day as well. You know, someone that's buying an iPhone today or receiving an iPhone for their birthday for the first time, that person in a matter of minutes is going to have more access to information than President Reagan did not that long ago, right? So just think about the power that our you know, younger workforce that's coming into the organizations that we have and their expectations as they move forward. So going back to the expectation of flexibility and movability and what is about to change, I think we're just on the cusp of it. I think analytics is another great topic for this as well, is you know, trying to figure out what we're doing with this big mountain of data so we can make decisions in a different pattern. It wasn't that long ago that our decisions were made in big data that really centered around whether or not we had enough storage for the information. And now it's, you know, that question is minimizing itself due to abilities in cloud and other services. And it's really, how do we use that information? So that becomes the measure, is saying, hey, I'm going to implement some big data techniques, but what are those measures that I'm going to put in place now? Because I believe that using big data can help me make decisions quicker.
And everyone has to make decisions, especially in this environment that's changing constantly. Let's take a break, and we come back, talk more about change management, maybe talk about some social tools, and maybe gaze into the future and see where this whole idea of information technology change is heading. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's guest is Doug Charles, President and CEO of Capgemini Government Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Doug Charles, President and CEO of Capgemini Government Solutions. It's kind of a funny word. If you're listening at home, if you're playing along at home, you can go to capgemini.com and go to their government page or federal page, download some case studies, some white papers, learn all about it. Some of my listeners go online for more information for white papers. Some read blogs. Some are in the Twitter world and read tweets and Twitter and tweet all day long. If you want to follow me, my handle is at Ray Gilray. Do you have a handle in Twitter world? Or
I do not, but okay. You know, I'm very accessible. So I'd tell you this, is anyone that wants to get in touch with me through it's easy enough to do, if you will. It's just douglas.charles@capgemini.com,
easy
and
to
you'll
do.
Find me.
Great, great, great. This is the part in the show that's mandatory. My listeners are listening to you going, well, this guy, you know, he's got this New Orleans accent. I wonder if he's really a card-carrying nerd. Are any Cajuns really card-carrying nerds? We'll go find out. So this is a 10-question test. It's a scientific test, I might add, that I've devised that's going to find it if you're a card-carrying nerd or not. So the first question, Doug, is the year you bought your first computer.
Yeah, that would probably be about 1995.
95, okay. Well, that's, you know, that's kind of... It's kind of weak, but yeah. But your age, you know, I mean, there's some people. I had a guy tell me it's the serial number in the first one. So,
oh, know. My goodness. No, I can't can't say that.
Your first cell phone.
Oh, it's probably about the same year.
Okay. That's respectable.
Yeah.
Do you have a Twitter feed?
I do not.
Okay. Do you have a blog?
I do not.
Okay. And do you use any online personal backup solutions?
No, I do not.
Okay. What kind of a smartphone do you have?
I have a Samsung Galaxy.
Okay. Number of apps on that?
Probably about 40, but I have to caveat that with I have a 5-year-old daughter, and so therefore 39 of those apps are trying to make her quiet while I'm trying to eat. So,
do you have a tablet device?
I have an iPad, yes, okay. I do.
And what social networking sites do you participate in?
I do Facebook, and LinkedIn is probably the two.
Okay. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
It was electronic.
Electronic. Well, you kind of surged at the end there. I'm going to have to run this through my computer in my basement, and we'll come up with an accurate score for your nerd level, and I'll mail it to you with U.S. mail. Number 10 envelope.
I'll be very interested in seeing the results. Exactly. I'm probably in the middle of the pack, I would assume.
Yeah, something like that, I'm sure. But it's always, I mean, I was at an event 2 days ago, and I was talking to a group of people, and a woman turned to me and said, what kind of phone do you have, John? Mm. I mean, the questions have been picked up. They listen, they ask these questions to gauge everybody's response. So maybe the questions will change, but I think everyone's interested Canadian level of technology is always it's always on top of things.
Yep.
They say change is not complicated; it's just hard, and it's kind of a distinction without a difference. But change is difficult. Whether you change and sell your house and move, you know, whether you change your kids grow out and leave the house, or whether you are encouraged to move to the cloud, or encouraged to change the way you handle a process as you've always handled one way. How does Capgemini view this, and what kind of solutions does Capgemini focus on the next few years in helping our federal listeners with these changes?
I mean, without question, I mean, the ones we mentioned earlier today, I mean, we're very, very much investing heavily into the information management arena. So without question, really making sure our clients and the people we're working with really know how to best use their information to really mitigate risk, to really improve operational efficiency. That is obviously paramount in this day and environment right now of what we're working with our clients with. Clearly, as some of the other mentions you mentioned, is cloud would fall into that as an example. So we're investing heavily into that. But you know, a lot of our bread and butter is, quite frankly, we do a few things extremely well, like independent verification and validation for the federal government. We have teams of people dedicated to making sure we're mitigating the risk of projects not being delivered effectively, as well as some of the things that we talked about in developing applications and tools for the productivity improvements that are being expected.
I guess you're in a unique situation where Capgemini has been all through the world, everywhere, been around for 43 years, 10,000 employees just in the United States alone, been in everywhere from energy to finance to compliance. And so I think you have a good skill set to draw from. And when you're in a federal environment and they say, well, here's my particular problem, is that we've always done it this way, we have to change to this way, it doesn't comply with security standards in the new way, how do we adapt to that change? You may have a perspective or an outlook that the typical government contractor doesn't have.
It is very true. I mean, goes back to the earlier comment I made, is that we have to act in this environment as 130,000 people strong. And through our knowledge management activities, through our ability to collaborate, through our ability to really commingle the great work that we're doing in HMRC, let's say, or as it relates to some of the other activities that we're doing in the UK or France or India or whatnot, and bring those leading practices back into how people do it here and really reinforce those is paramount for us.
The brave new world we're all facing, everyone listening is facing this, is new regulatory requirements, uncertain economy, shrinking resources. I mean, this is a pressure cooker. And some people can say, well, you know, I've got anxiety about the change. But, you know, some anxiety is good when you change, because it's gonna have to be there no matter what.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned something that's quite interesting, and you know, that the commercial environment is very used to, and that's compliance-related activities. So clearly, you know, whether it was the Y2K or whether it was wireless number portability back in the day in the telecom world, you know, no one wants to be non-compliant. I mean, that is a motivating factor to change. So what you're seeing more and more of, I think, now is the compliance-related issues, be it healthcare or in the, you know, DHS, as we talked about, or USDA or within the Army. You know, you're just seeing more and more, we must change, we must incorporate this into our organization. And so that's where Capgemini can clearly play a role.
I've been involved in a wide range of change. I've worked for the largest company in the world. I work for the smallest company in the world. And I've had all kinds of experiences in life. And what I've seen is that if I tell you, well, Doug, next week we're going to start doing our payroll in the cloud, you may have some very rational, logical fears that say, well, number one, number two, number three, that you can articulate, and that's subject for debate, and that's fine. But there's also irrational fears. I mean, and humans are emotional animals. And in my experience, I can convince someone, I think, logically why a change is superior or better. But the emotional, the irrational needs of humans, that's really the tough part.
You know, we use the term change team, but that's really a coalition of people in the organization that understand and the rationale for change and moving forward. And sometimes when people build these teams to help, you know, get from point A to point B, they think, well, that team should be the leadership team. And in actuality, to your point, John, it's really a whole spectrum of middle managers to people really kind of just coming on into the organization that are, you know, very equipped to technology, if you will, to kind of help others get over those humps, if you will. And in some cases, quite frankly, by the way, I think going back to core mission statements of some of our agencies, is they're recognizing that there's so much change that are needed, some of this is going to be farmed off. So whether or not, you know, bringing in a system integrator or a cloud broker to really figure out this path for them is a change I think you're seeing as well coming down the pike.
And all kinds of changes, personal and corporate. And I think that many of my listeners are looking at new ways that the government's going to be doing business. Whether they like it or not, they're going to have to reduce their budget. Whether they like it or not, they're not going to be able to hire as many people this year as expected. So they have to create, they need to come up with new creative ways to implement this change. And they're going to have to take, you know, the rational humans that y'all work, that work for you and the rational humans and combine them. And I just think it's a big mountain to climb. And maybe they should rely on maybe some of the solutions that Capgemini has used in the commercial world to apply to them.
Well, I also know, you know, you were talking about change and perceptions and whatnot. And, you know, I think it was years ago, quite a long time ago, that you could be on the phone with, one particular, Dell computers, if you will, hung up, had that customer experience, and then picked up the phone with your cable company, and you reset your expectations as far as what you expected from them. Today, if I'm on the online with Zappos or some online activity, and it's very easy. I'm navigating through their website. It's very a friendly experience. And then all of a sudden, I have to jump on some .gov website, and I'm trying to look for an immigration policy or whether or not a food's safe or is there some kind of safety recall or some security measure. And if I can't really kind of have the same experience, I'm not differentiating that environment anymore. So all of a sudden now, my constituents aren't happy. Not because they're comparing me, the DHS is being compared to USDA. It's because
exactly.
DHS is being compared to Zappos.
Right.
So it's a different.
It's a fair comparison. Interesting concept there. We're going to have to take a quick break, and we're going to have to change ourselves. We're going to have to change to a different program. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Doug Charles, President and CEO of Capgemini Government Solutions. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.